Well, today we celebrate Mother's Day. It's always a delight to honor our mothers on this special day that's set aside year to year. There's a reason for it. Mothers are important. And we acknowledge the special place that mothers have in the community, in the church, in the home, in the nation. Mothers are far more important, and their relationship to their children is far more important than the world ever knows. And I thank God for godly mothers. Now, I feel it's fitting that year by year on the second Lord's Day in May, that we honor mothers. Now, some of our mothers are home in the glory, and others are still here. They remain with us. But no matter where they are, memories of mothers bring joy to the heart. What a blessing, especially, is a godly mother. David could say in the 16th Psalm, he said, "The lines are fallen unto us in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." What a blessed privilege to be able to make a statement like David did in the 16th Psalm. Now, today we want to look into the Word of God. To me, the joy of Mother's Day is being able to look into the Word of God, study a portion of the Word that deals with a mother, a godly mother, and to bring encouragement to us as the children of God. Today we want to look at a mother in Israel who lived at a very difficult time. And probably if we were to pick out the history of Israel and the most important and most difficult time for them, it would be this particular period when this mother in Israel lived. Now, she's important because the Lord could command her. The Lord could command her concerning the birth of her child, and concerning how the child is to be raised in that difficult period in Israel. Now, this mother that I have chosen for this morning, she is special because of her home life, the way she acts toward her husband, and the way she acts toward the Lord, and all these details fit into the scriptural pattern that we find in the New Testament concerning the home. I invite you to turn to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges 13. Where we read, beginning at verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. And he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child, and what shall unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I have said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon the rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now may the Lord bless his word. Let us pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can bow in thy presence. Enter into thy presence because the way has been opened through thy dear Son. Apart from his shed blood and apart from his work at Calvary, all are on the outside. But this morning, some of us are on the inside. And we pray all of us are on the inside because we have come by way of the cross and trusted the finished work that your Son did on our behalf as our substitute. Father, we thank you for the mothers. We thank you for every mother present. We thank you for the mothers that you've called home to glory. And we pray, our Father, as we study this portion of the Word, that we may gain insight into your purposes for mothers, for the home, for husbands, and all our responsibilities. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we have a mother that we have no name to attach to her. We know not her name, but we know the name of her husband, and we know the name of his famous son, Samson. Now let us therefore think concerning her, because the book of Judges is a record of the most difficult time in Israel's history. It is a record of Israel's departure from God, God's chastening hand, the raising up of a deliverer for his people, and then their revival or turning back to God. The period of the judges is a period that is just like today. It is written in the four times in the book of Judges, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The period in which our lot is cast today, the period in which mothers raise children today, is a period of time when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And it is a sad condition in our world today. And we need to find people and pattern our lives after those who obey the commandments of God. And it's quite interesting from the reading of this lengthy passage in the Word of God, here the angel of the Lord appears to a person whose life is that to which an angel of God can come and give directions and find obedience. And we see the result. Now, it is at this time and under these stressing circumstances that we find comfort today as we think of our mothers and as we thank God for them. You'll notice that the angel of the Lord appears not to Manoah, but he appears to Manoah's wife. And this is outstanding to me. And I want you to notice a number of things in our text. Verses 2 through 5, we want to deal with the subject, first of all, of divine providence. When I'm here on Mother's Day, I consider myself speaking to mothers in Israel. People who have been saved by the grace of God. That you belong to the Lord. And if you belong to the Lord, then you're in a family. You're in a family wherein all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Therefore, we're in a family that is operated by divine providence. God's providence is over His people. It is He who causes all things to work together for good. So I want you to notice the providence of God in relation to Manoah's wife. First, she was barren until God intervened. The Word of God tells us that children are an heritage from the Lord. This woman was barren, and she was barren by the will of God. Furthermore, the providence of God is overruling, and the angel of the Lord says to her, you're going to have a son. He didn't say you're going to have a daughter. He said you're going to have a son. Now, not that it wouldn't be delightful to have a daughter. I don't mean that. What I'm saying is this. It is God who is the determining factor in life. And we must move away from, and we must stand back and marvel at God's abiding faithfulness to His people. God says, you're going to have a son. And when God says something, what He says is sure and He's steadfast. And when the time came for the birth, it was a son. Furthermore, He said to her, you must be careful of your diet while you're carrying the son, because that son is special. That son is going to be a Nazarite unto me from the womb. That is quite interesting. Now, we don't have time this morning to go into the law of the Nazarite that's presented in Numbers chapter 6. But one thing about being a Nazarite, it meant that you were odd. You were odd. You didn't live like other people. All the days of the vow of the Nazarite. And Samson was going to be, according to the angel of the Lord, a Nazarite from his birth till his death. And Samson got in trouble when he had the symbol of the Nazarite removed from him. That which was symbolic of the Nazarite was his long hair. And when he permitted Delilah to shave his head, it was then that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Samson, but his hair grew again. And when Samson died, he was back in fellowship with God. So we look at this passage, and we notice that God is faithful to his word. The commandments of God are expected to be obeyed. So we see the providence of God in relation to the woman. Then we see the providence of God in relation to the child. God didn't say how he would be different, only that he would have the mark of the Nazarite. And the Nazarite was not allowed to touch any fruit of the vine. He could not eat raisins, he was not permitted to eat grapes, and he was not permitted to drink wine, and his hair were not permitted to be cut. Now, in relation to God's purpose, here we see the providence of God. What is God doing? Oh, friends, he says he's going to begin to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of the Philistines to this land. This, when God wants to do a work, he usually picks a baby. When God wanted to deliver Israel from Egypt, he picked a baby, Moses. When God wanted to deliver this world from sin, he picked a baby, his son. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under law. And in order to have a baby, you have to have a mother. Mothers are important. So we not only see the divine providence of God working in this family, but we also see a very discerning mother. Now, she's not a mother yet, but when God says she's going to have a son, that means she's going to be a mother. Just as definite as the words came forth from the angel of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice this woman's relationship to her husband. I believe that if there is anything that is necessary today in a Christian home, it is getting the spirit of the passage here and this mother's relationship to her husband. Now, it appears from the passage that of the two people, Manoah and his wife, the wife was far more spiritual than the husband. And in many Christian homes today, it is the wife who is the spiritual leader. The wife is far more spiritual than the husband. I've seen this all my Christian life. When I was a director of the Youth Congress at Greenwood Hills, I was many times very discouraged because they were all single who gathered there except a few of us who were married, who made up the staff. I was very discouraged many times. We would have the finest young ladies from the East Coast. And we'd have a lot of young men from the East Coast. It was the girls who were the spiritual ones. Now, some of the boys were, because in that group, you see, there was Larry Krabs. The man who's written the book, he was in that group that came. Larry was a fine young man. And we had some other outstanding young men, Carl Armerding and others. But, when we take the whole thing together, there were far more girls who were spiritual than the fellows. Now, Manoah's wife is more spiritual than he. And we find that here in the page. The angel of the Lord appeared to her. The angel of the Lord did not appear to her husband. But there's something about this spiritual woman in the home that must be noticed here. What did this woman do in relation to her husband? She did what every spiritual woman will do. She didn't put her husband down. She put her husband in the place of leadership. That's what she did. She recognized that the husband should be the leader in the home. And when the angel of the Lord appeared the second time, and the reason he appeared the second time, she went and she told her husband, and the husband in turn prayed and asked God for a fresh revelation. Send the angel back. I want to talk with him. Why did he pray that way? He had a spiritual wife who knew her position in the home, and she knew the position of the husband in the home. Here we have a most great and blessed example of what the home should be like. She didn't say, well, the angel of the Lord appeared unto me. You listen to me. You know, she didn't do that. What she did, she put her husband in the place of leadership. This is the greatest thing and privilege that a married woman can do to her husband. Put him in the place of leadership. Now, she is the one who brought forth the prayer of Manoah. You see, if in verse 8, he asked for wisdom. Oh, I wish I could find young men today put into the place of leadership who cry to God, oh, give me wisdom that I may know just how to lead my family. What do we need in the Christian family today? We need fathers who are willing to be leaders in the home. How are they going to get there? By a good mother. The good mother who does this. You see. And this is what happens. So the first thing he does, he prays for wisdom. Then he prays for a fresh revelation from God. Oh, come back. Give me more. Oh, that we might see this, you see, as the children of God. And then there's something else. He desired to know how God would have him raise a child. How would you have me raise this child? You're giving us a child. I need wisdom to raise this child. But then, in verse 23, when we drop down and we see the discernment of this woman, you'll notice she has more discernment than her husband in relation to the purposes of God. You see, now she called her husband when the angel of the Lord appeared the second time. Again, she put the husband in the place of leadership. She was different than Eve in the Garden of Eden. When the serpent approached Eve in the Garden of Eden, she acted on her own. She acted independent of her husband. Just the opposite here. Manoah's wife does not act independent of him. She went and got him. She said, now this man came again. You asked him to come. He's come. You come and talk with him. Oh, what a blessing this is. Furthermore, it was Manoah then who spoke with the angel of the Lord. And it was Manoah who suggested the hospitality. I want to detain you. I want to provide you with a meal before you leave. It was the husband. But it was this mother in Israel, according to verse 23, who discerned the purpose of God. Manoah said, we're going to die. We've seen God. We've seen an angel of the Lord. His wife said, no. She said, would have he told us all these things if he meant to kill us? Why didn't he kill us outright? Here is a discerning woman, a mother-to-be who is discerning not only into the place that her husband should have in the home, not only in relation to the Lord, for he appeared unto her, but in relation to the purposes of God. I just want to say a number of things. Both Manoah and his wife recognized the need to train the child. One of the greatest blessings in life are children. For children are an heritage from the Lord. Forgive me for just making this personal for a moment. This recent illness of my wife, I didn't know which way to turn driving home from Pennsylvania. It was a strain. But to find that your children were there to take care of a situation. You know, I don't know how to explain the joy that I had in my own soul. And when they asked my wife who the doctor was going to be in Memorial Hospital, she said, wait till my daughter gets here. She'll help. And when she came, she knew what to do. children are an heritage from the Lord. And you don't have a child without a mother. And the training of that child begins with his mother. The mother is the one who is so important for a child. Children don't attain their best character spontaneously. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't simply happen by natural growth and development. This is something that we have in the world today. The world today is run, children are instructed in daycare centers rather than by their parents. And I feel that, and you'll forgive me for being so blunt, but I believe that Christian daycare centers, even though it goes by the word Christian, they leave a lot to be desired. They really need their parents. And a child really needs the mother. Mothers are so important. Child training is not something that is spontaneous. We're so afraid in our world that we're going to miss out in not having the things we really want. And the things that are going to last for eternity, our children, should never be given second place. They must be given first place. This is what is an heritage from the Lord, our children. It's the one thing you can take with you to glory. Can't take your money along, but you can take your children. Oh, let us live to the praise of the glory of His grace for the sake of our children. How shall we order the child? Manoah said. And why did he say it? He said it because he had a godly wife who told him, this is what God said to me. And you're the one who must direct the home. And I need your help. I need your leadership. Brothers, there's something else here. You see, it's a mother who instills first training in the children. This is why it's so important. You see, training is so necessary to assist and to promote that natural development that's going to be good. The natural development will not be good apart from genuine training. Furthermore, training is necessary to correct and to eradicate those hereditary tendencies to sin. For children have hereditary tendencies to sin. It comes naturally. It's just like mother and dad. You see, and children need training. They need training to counteract the temptations of the world. The world is going to come in. Peer pressure when children go to school today is far more intense than it was when a person like myself went to school. And some of you who are younger than me attended. You see, now, children don't attain to the best character and conduct apart from care and apart from genuine effort. When I read this, I summed up this passage with Hebrews chapter 13. Just a few words. It speaks of elders there in Hebrews 13 and verse 7. But the closing words say this to us. Whose faith follows. And I like that. There are godly mothers in Israel, and we have a good number of them right here in this meeting. People who love the Lord, who taught and are teaching. God's word to us is, whose faith follows. Oh, what a privilege it is to honor the mothers today, to read a portion like this, and to rejoice in the provisions of God for his people. Where does the blessing of God begin? It begins with parents. Our mothers are our first instructors. Where parents are obeyed, obedience to God and his word follows close behind. A child left to his own brings his mother to shame, the word of God says. For God expects those early years to implant such teaching in the children that the children follow on. Oh, may God use this to bless our hearts and to encourage one another unto love and good works for his name's sake. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the instructions of your word. We thank you for our godly mothers and those of us whose mothers are in the glory. We just thank you that we can say whose faith follows. They were a godly example. They honored their husbands. And we pray, our God, that these things which are contrary to the modern mindset will not be adopted by thy people here, but rather that they will lay hold of thy word and rejoice in the provision that divine grace have made, and will thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.